America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I got him right here, guys. Tyler Bass, a 61-yard field goal to end this game, essentially. Walk me through what's going through your mind and the kick as it's off your foot.
Man, it's been something that we've been working since training camp. I knew when we got there, just everything I've been through, I knew I was prepared and I trusted it. Great snap by Reed, great hold by Sam, and just thank Josh for getting us in range.
Tyler, you've been very upfront about what you've gone through this year, going back to last year and your struggles. For you to have the faith and the confidence to step up in that moment, what's that like for you?
Man, it just, hard work pays off, man. My old coach, Doc, used to tell me, you're only as good as your next kick. So, doesn't matter what I do before that, I'm only as good as my next kick, so I put my best foot forward.
And then look over here at Bills Mafia. Everybody giving you all those cheers over there. What's that feel like for you, Tyler?
It's special, man. You know, we play here for our teammates, but we also play here for Bills Mafia, man. They're the best in the world, and so grateful.
One heck of a kick. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
All right, that is Tyler Bass after the game. I don't get to hear those interviews. Thank you for playing that. That was pretty cool. Last year, the interview I did on the field after the game with Sean McDermott after they won the division kind of went viral because it was really cool and he was super emotional and I got to hear it. And I'm like, yeah, that was cool because I'm in the moment. I'm doing the interview. So thanks for playing that, Josh, because the natural sound of the fireworks in the background and the Bills fans chanting, A-A-A, right? That's pretty cool right there. So thank you very much. Tyler Bass after the game, 61-yard field goal. Josh Schmidt producing, by the way, here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football victory Monday. It is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Buffalo football Monday, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And it rolls on later on after this show. We'll have One Bills Live. Shopin' the Bulldog, of course. A lot going on today, including your phone calls. Let's get back after it. We'll get the sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and everything else a little bit later. But first, Tony in West Seneca starts us off this hour. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Sal. I'm a first-time caller. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got one comment and one question.
Yep.
The first comment is about the spoiled fans. Oh, my God. Don't they remember the Shula era? And what about the bad kickers we've had, like Nick Mickemeyer? My dad used to call him Missemeyer.
That's pretty funny.
Good God in heaven. Yeah. The question is about the refereeing. You touched on it briefly. The two calls that we got for holding on Osiris and on Dion,
yeah.
My son and I watched it. We replayed them both in slow-mo. I didn't see any holding at all. I saw Miami holding all day long. Are they ever going to do anything about the bad refereeing? That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I'll just take it from what I saw or didn't saw. I mean, I didn't see anything blatantly obvious on the field, and then I see the penalty, but that happens a lot because I'm watching the play unfold. But I will tell you that I have not gone back and watched the game broadcast yet. Eric Wood shares your sentiment, Tony. Eric Wood was beside himself saying, how are these penalties? These are not penalties. Both of them. Deion Dawkins with one, Osiris Torrance with one. He said neither one of them should have been penalties. In the meantime, I see very questionable, possible penalties on Ed Oliver about three or four times during the game grabbing him. And I'm not telling you they should have been called even. But I think you just have to be more consistent. When you say, are they ever going to do anything about the officiating? I don't know what you can do. I mean, you just got to help them hope they're better, right? I mean, yes, they get graded. Officials get penalized. They get rewarded depending on what games and assignments, all those kinds of things. So really interesting. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Tony. It was not a really terrifically officiated game yesterday. We've said that too many times over this year for sure. Rob in Tonawanda. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm good. Thank you.
So yesterday when Miami came onto the field for pregame warm-ups, I sit in section 138, and about the 10-yard line, Tyreek Hill turned in Brian Cox and started flipping off the entire Bills Mafia for no reason.
Okay. I didn't see that. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was pregame warm-ups. So we're on the Bills sideline, opposite side of the tunnel. And he came in and just started flipping everybody off, being real rude. And he was mouthing something, but I couldn't hear him from where I was sitting. But he's the new Brian Cox of the Miami Dolphins, in my opinion.
All right, Rob. Well, you know what? They've had some players over the years, for sure, that Bills fans love to hate and vice versa, right? We'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill. There's been some rumblings that maybe he could be shopped and traded. I don't think he will be, but you never know. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. is the trade deadline. He's got some money left in his deal next year. The Dolphins could get out of that now by trading him. There's people who believe, hey, could the Kansas City Chiefs do that? I don't think so. Very unlikely to me that Kansas City would trade for Tyreek Hill and trade back for him. But I wouldn't completely shock me. I don't think they'll trade him. Calais Campbell could be on the move. That's a guy the Bills could be looking at, right? They might need another defensive lineman. He's 30. What is Calais Campbell? 38 now? Just have to go back and look. What Calais Campbell? Is he 38? Hold on. Hold on one second here. 38 years old. Wow, it's crazy. And he's having a good year. I mean, but the question about that is if the Bills are interested in there, what's the division tax on a trade, right? Does that make it worthwhile? But interesting trade deadline coming up here at 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Mike in Orchard Park. Hi, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
You got it. I'm good.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me a voice on your platform. Just talking about the game yesterday, you know, there were some plays taken off the board, some touchdowns, and, you know, the game was a little closer than I like. But what I really want to talk about, I wasn't sitting in section 203 because I was almost directly right behind the field goal post. And when Tyler Bass kicked that field goal, I was just amazed. Like, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, and it was like one of my best experiences in the stadium with fans. You know, like, this team has faced a lot of adversity this year. And for Tyler to come back and make that kick, you know, I just love it. I just love that, you know, Sean's not perfect, but I just love the program he's built here. And, you know, like every year we got Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, you know, we have a way, you know, to the Super Bowl, man. So not trying to get too high up, but long season still. But, you know, I feel very confident where the team stands right now, and hopefully we can make a run.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, Mike, I'll say one of the cool things I like is watching videos from the fans in the stands when things like that happen. I've been doing that this morning. Pretty cool, man. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. I've been doing that this morning, watching some of the videos from the fans in the stands after the kick. Pretty cool. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR.
Sal, just want to let you know before I get to my point. That when I think of the Bills' experience as a fan, and I know other fans do, you're as big a part of that as Josh Allen or Sean McDermott or anybody on the field. Thank you so much for all you do for us. I guess what I'm looking for clarity on is if we rewind to Thursday Night Football, the Garrett Wilson one-handed amazing catch, shin in, knee out, mm-hmm. and then we fast forward to the challenge.
Okay.
Tua trying to dive for that, his shin clearly down. Where is the difference?
Well, I think his shin is down after he made the line to gain. The question is...
Okay, so they weren't calling the knee down?
No. Here's what I believe. I believe Sean McDermott was challenging that he started his dive sooner, or maybe that he was down before the line to gain. But from what I'm gathering here, the rule is when you dive forward, it's not where the dive starts, it's where the first body part touches as you're diving forward. And the first body part touched, and the screenshots I'm getting are he was right at the line to gain. Very tough to overturn.
Understood completely. Thank you, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. And I've been trying to look into this, Frank, today, okay? I just want you to know because it is a good question because they changed the rule a few years ago about where you spot it when a guy slides and dives and it's the start and it's all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what the thought. And to me, and also, Frank, as I said earlier today, I think McDermott in that moment saying, look, if I challenge and I'm right, we win the game. If I challenge and I'm wrong, I'm using a timeout, which I'm already going to use a timeout anyway. We know that because he started using his timeouts there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great challenge. I would have challenged it too. No problem with that. And obviously with Perry upstairs, he saw something.
Yeah.
I just, you know, me and you talked about it a couple weeks ago with the Jets coach Olbidge throwing the challenge flag and us having a little weird discussion about that.
Yes.
I still think the John Perry hire is a great hire. I just think some of these rules are just, they're ebbing and flowing week to week a little bit.
And listen, I mean, I will say this about John Perry and the hire, and I agree, it's a very good hire. He also just, he can say to Sean McDermott, and I don't know what the conversation is going on during the game, but I imagine it's something like, Sean, this is really close. Like, you might be able to win this, right? He's not going to know exactly how it's going to turn out, right? I mean, he can only also have his best educated guess.
100%.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Rob in Chicago. That opens up phone lines, by the way. We got plenty of phone lines open right now. We'll get to what happened in the NFL yesterday as well as we go forward on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So call up at 803-0550. Rob is up next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you this morning. Appreciate taking the call. Also, good to see you at training camp this summer's first time there, and I really appreciate taking the time just to say hi. It's good seeing you.
You got it.
My question for you is wondering if you noticed in the game yesterday anything with Josh's throwing motion. It seemed like he took a – went down, maybe got his ankle rolled up, and then at some point it felt like he was short throwing, like getting a lot of – you know, he had – the targets he had to Kincaid, stuff going at people's ankles. I was wondering if you just felt like his throwing motion was normal yesterday or if there was something off, because I felt like he had a lot more underthrows than I would normally see from Josh, and I know you've probably seen more of it. And
yeah, I was a little concerned about that too. I didn't know what was happening there. It did seem like that to me, and I don't know if the ankle bothered him enough where he couldn't like keep that strength up on his, you know, as he was throwing. I'm not really sure if that had anything to do with it, Rob. He did have a couple of those underthrows a little bit late in the game. It was a little bit after that. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But, look, it also could just be him trying a little bit too hard and too much and too quickly, because they were blitzing the heck out of Josh Allen yesterday. And I think the Bills struggled with some of the blitz concepts that the Dolphins came up with. And I think Josh had to kind of get rid of the ball a little quicker than he wanted to a few times.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback. So keep up the great work. Love what you do out there.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I noticed it too, and I wondered for sure. But I also wonder if Josh also, like, they were heating him up, man. Like, is he trying to get the ball out, you know, a little bit quicker than what he wanted? All right, we got some phone calls coming in. We'll get to those in a minute. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on board the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show. In the meantime, actually, Josh, while you're doing that, if you could play some NFL music, and we'll start to get to Josh. Josh is doing everything. He's taking your calls. He's on the line right now with somebody who wants to get on. He's playing some NFL music. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. Let's run through week number 9 in the National Football League. The Falcons beat the Dallas Cowboys 27-21. Cowboys now 3-5. What did Dak Prescott say? We suck. Yeah, they're not good. The Cowboys are terrible, to be quite honest with you. How did they beat the Steelers? Because the Steelers aren't actually all that good. But they beat them. And I only say that because I still can't believe, like, here's Pittsburgh on a bye week. All right, I don't even want to talk about Pittsburgh. I'm looking at the standings right now. That's what got me rolling on that. Let me go back to the game yesterday. Falcons 6-3. They're looking pretty good in the NFC South. In case you just tuned in and you missed it, I said it earlier. The Saints, after starting 2-0, have lost 7 straight and have fired their head coach, Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen has been fired by the New Orleans Saints. They lose to Carolina yesterday. They're both 2-7. All right. Elsewhere, I gave a chance. I was wrong. See? All of you tell me Sal Capaccio just thinks he's right all the time, man. I'm going to admit I'm wrong. I'm going to admit right here. Mark it down. I was wrong yesterday and all week. I gave the Broncos fighting chance to beat the Ravens. They did not have a fighting chance based on the score. I haven't gone back and watched the game. 41-10, the Ravens beat the Broncos yesterday. Another fantastic game for Lamar Jackson. 280 and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And for Derrick Henry, 106 yards on the ground. Pair of TDs, averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Bo Nix, 19 of 33, 223, has an interception. That's not a great Ravens pass defense. But the Broncos couldn't take advantage of it, and the Ravens did a really nice job against what is really a good Broncos defense. Just told you about the Panthers beating the Saints. It was 23-22, the final score.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Chuba Hubbard with a 16-yard run with less than 3 minutes left to win that game, essentially. Alvin Kamara for the Saints goes for a 155. Derek Carr throws for 236. But how about Bryce Young? Keeping it alive, at least. Didn't have a great game, but did enough. 171 and a touchdown for the Carolina Panthers quarterback. The Bengals, they didn't have a good start. The Raiders jumped on top of them a bit early. Raiders were up 7-0. It was 10-10 at one point, but then the Bengals took over. They scored, let's see, a touchdown. We went from 10-10 to 31-10. Three straight touchdowns. 21 straight points, but we always say unanswered. Well, those were unanswered. Then they answered. The Raiders did. And the Raiders did actually make it a, let's see, 38-17, 31-17 game in the fourth quarter. But then the Bengals took back over. And here's Joe Burrow. Five touchdown passes. Joe Burrow, 27 of 39, five touchdown passes and an interception. And for the Raiders, they need a quarterback. Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder, they both throw. One throws for 17 passes, the other one throws 16 passes. I don't even know if there's an injury in this game. They just can't figure it out at quarterback. Raiders are 2-7. They're in that bottom group. The Bengals are 4-5. They have a chance to really, really keep their season alive here with a big game Thursday night at the Baltimore Ravens. Chargers. I mean, first half. You see the first half stats here? Over 200 yards passing in the first half for Justin Herbert, but then he only ended up with 282. So I don't know if they just slowed the game down and just started pounding the ball. They ran J.K. Dobbins 14 times for 85 yards. Herbert, 18 of 27 for 282 and a pair of touchdowns. For the Browns, Jameis Winston throws 46 times, completes 26 of them for 235, a touchdown, and three interceptions. That's Jameis. What he giveth, he taketh away, and vice versa. Last week, this great game. This week, he comes back with three interceptions. And the Browns fall to 2-7. How many 2-7 teams are there? Quite a bit, it looks like. And the Chargers move on to 5-3. Chargers now, only two games back of the Chiefs. They do play them one more time, right? Because they played them once, and they lost 17-10. They play in several weeks. Week after the Bills play the Chiefs. A couple weeks after the Bills play the Chiefs. Looks like a Sunday night game. December 8th, actually, is when the Chargers and Chiefs play. And that one game, of course, that's going to be in Arrowhead, right? Another night game in Arrowhead for the Chiefs, like tonight. We'll talk about that in a little while. Commanders, they beat the Giants. Something on the Browns I wanted to get to. So they're calling for Ken Dorsey's job in Cleveland. No surprise when you're 2-7. But they're calling for the media. Daryl Ryder, who I follow from the Fan in Cleveland, he tweeted something this morning about how, hey, the Raiders made all these. Raiders, by the way, fired their offensive coordinator and a few other assistants. He said the Browns should do the same and start with Ken Dorsey. That's what he wrote. So interesting that that's starting to happen now in Cleveland. Commanders 27-22. You wonder about Kevin Stefanski and his job status. Two-time coach of the year, though. Jaden Daniels continues to impress. 15 of 22, 209 yards, only but two touchdowns. Very efficient. The Giants get two passing touchdowns from Daniel Jones, 20-26. He had a nice game. But a 27-22, the final score. Giants also 2-7. I got to look at how many 2-7 teams there are right now in the NFL. Let's go through this. Check this out. In the AFC alone, Browns, Jags, Raiders, Patriots. In the NFC, Panthers, Saints, Giants. Seven teams are 2-7 in the NFL right now. Vying for that number one overall draft pick, I guess. You're not dead at 2-7, but very, 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 very high. It'd be amazing for a team to come back to the playoffs from that. One of those 2-7 teams is the Patriots. Talked about them a little bit earlier. They score a touchdown in the last play of regulation, and they kick the extra point instead of going for two, which they should have done on the road at Tennessee. Just go for two. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson was averaging. Drake May. Averaged 11.9 yards. Drake May can run. No, they couldn't run the ball outside of him, though. Maybe that's why they didn't go for two. Stevenson, 10 carries, 16 yards. Not good. Against a good Titans defense. All right, but so what? So what? You're the Patriots. Go for two in that situation. They didn't do it. Drake May, 29 of 41, 206, a touchdown and two interceptions. Kid can run, though, man. He's got some athleticism. 8 carries, 95 yards, 11.9 yards a carry for the Titans. Of course, Tony Pollard, who I did not play in my fantasy league, but he didn't score, though. 128 yards. Nice day, though, for Tony Pollard on the ground. Mason Rudolph throws a pair of touchdowns and 240 yards for the Tennessee Titans. All right, we'll get to the rest of the games in a minute. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Mike on a cell. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
2 weeks, the Bills play the Chiefs. I was just wondering if you know, does the CBS have the rights to that game?
Yes.
Because
it will not be flexed.
It can't get flexed.
Let me say it this way. I think what happens is, I think as you get on, they can't protect the game when the schedule begins, but I think they get like one protection as it goes on. I would say this, that game's not going to get flexed. That's not going to Sunday night. And especially because the Bills are playing Sunday night the week before that, by the way, and the Chiefs are playing Sunday night the week after that, so they're not doing that.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
Phil. Yeah, you got it. 425. It's a good call. Good question. I have to remember what Mike North said. I believe what he said was, teams can't protect games when the schedule comes out. Like, early on, like, we're protecting this, we're going to have that. But once the season starts, as you get towards flexing, they can like protect one of their games. But listen, the Sunday night schedule, the next few weeks, the Bills play Sunday night, December 1st. Let me get to this. I'm going to just have this right for you, okay? I'm going to do this right. I want to make sure I get this right. The Chiefs play. Here's the Bills schedule. The Bills play the Chiefs at 4:25 on November 17th. 2 weeks later, the Bills play Sunday night. Okay, after their bye. The Chiefs play Sunday night against the Bills. 4:25 against the Bills. And they also have, it's the Chargers a few weeks later. My apologies, Mike. I gave you the wrong information about the Sunday night schedule. My apologies on that. That being said, that game's not getting flexed. CBS is going to have that game. Let's go to Dave in West Palm Beach. So apologize for that, Mike, but you wouldn't have to worry about it. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Love the show, buddy.
Thank you.
So, listen, I just got a little quick attaboy for the Bills fans yesterday. So, I'm walking in there with two of my friends from Florida, been up there before for games, and my brother. And we're walking along, and I see this kid walking, Mexican kid, and he's got all his Miami Dolphins garb on. It's all decked out. And I look over and say, hey, dude, this is what's going on? And he says, yeah, I'm up here for the game. You know, I just want to feel the vibe. I go, where are you from? He says, Brownsville, Texas. I go, come on. He goes, Brownsville, Texas, what are you doing? He goes, I just heard so much about this. I just wanted to experience it. I go, well, dude, hang with us, right? So we stayed with this kid for 3 hours. We went to the Big Tree, went to the 97 Rock, the garage bar, everything. And everybody treated these guys with class. We were the garage bar. It made me feel so good because I have had a bad experience once in a night game when everybody was all drunk up from drinking all day. But I couldn't have been prouder yesterday because that's the way it's supposed to be. And everybody was just so kind to these guys. This kid, he was calling his mother, Ma, you wouldn't believe this place. These people are crazy, but they're great, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I want to say attaboy all the Bills fans yesterday. Thank you.
You know, Dave, everybody's got a bad story, but the great ones like this, I think, far and outweigh them. There's no doubt. And I have a similar experience with my friends who are still in town today. I'm going to get to that a little bit a while later, but I have a buddy that comes up every year. He's a big Dolphins fan, and he loves coming, and he says how great people treat him. So I appreciate you saying that.
Sweet.
Yeah, you got it.
You bet.
You got it, Dave. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'll get to that a little while. I'll tell you some good stuff about that. Let's go to Jeremy in Chicago. Hi, Jeremy. I'm good. Two calls from Chicago today, Jeremy. I love it. We're big out west. Midwest.
So
big in the Midwest.
I've been listening all day. I wasn't going to call, but my son and I, he's 9 years old. We try to come in for almost every home game. And I had a scheduling conflict. Wasn't going to be able to come in on Saturday for the game. And I said to him, let's just skip this week. He said, no, it's Miami. We got to go. Mm-hmm. We came in. We got on a 6:30 flight on Sunday. Went through Washington. Got to the game. Came to the game. And he looked at me after the game. He said it was totally worth it. And it was just like the whole atmosphere after the game. I listened to all these people calling in and complaining about this and that. Yesterday was a day to remember. It was awesome. And that was really the reason I wanted to call. Yeah. You know, coming back late at night last night, my son was exhausted, had to go to school today. That was the deal. But, you know, I know you, you're a parent and stuff like that. Yeah. It was cool yesterday. It was just fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time in the stadium, right? I mean, you get those games like the perfect game against New England where it's just a party all game and you know they're going to win. And then you get a game like yesterday, which just back and forth, stressful as heck, and you could just let that stress out in the best of ways at the very end. You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yeah, it was cool. People are hugging each other, high-fiving. Yeah. It was awesome. So yeah. I just wanted to call and say, go Bills. And
you got it, Jeremy.
Andy next week.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks for reaching out from out there in Chicago, the Windy City. Matthew in Grand Island. Hi, Matthew. What's up?
Hey, Sal. Just a quick question on possibly getting Curtis Samuel more involved more.
Yeah.
I was curious was on that and seeing what we can do to lean on him more, especially with Keon possibly being injured for a little bit.
It's a great question, Matthew. I thought about this morning. Like, boy, if you're going to lose Keon Coleman for any length of time, and we don't know that yet. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. We know he looks like he had some sort of hand or wrist injuries in the locker room with a brace on. But I don't know. I mean, you got to have a guy like Curtis Samuel stand up. He should have been by now more involved. I don't know the reason. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Was it the turf toe injury that set him back or he's dealing with? Is it not grasping the concepts of the offense? I find that hard to believe because Joe Brady and him worked together and so well in 2020. It's a great question. Right. It would be a great benefit for this team if Curtis Samuel could step up and be the guy that they thought he'd be coming into the season.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks, Matthew. I wish I could answer why. I really don't. Really don't know. All right. Great way to end this segment with Bob from Syracuse, because I just want to say Syracuse is going to a bowl game, Bob. I know you I don't care if you're a fan or not. I don't even know if you are, but I know I am.
Yeah.
And they're going to a bowl game, and I'm happy about it, Bob. Big win against Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah, that was a great win. too bad for Tech that the quarterback got banged up.
Yeah.
He could have walked in to tie that game. So
yeah.
Who are But anyway, I wanted to talk about the possibility of maybe bringing Shaq Lawson back, since he knows he's available. He knows the system. It wouldn't be very difficult to get him up to speed if he's in shape, and he can do what a lot of the our edge players can't do right now, which is set the edge, which is one of the things that's missing on the D-line. I just want to know your thoughts on that. So I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. That's a really good question, and it's a name I have not heard, but it's one that should probably be thought about, because we know the Bills like to bring in guys that understand their system, guys that are familiar and that they're familiar with. I haven't thought about Shaq. I haven't heard anything about that. The only thing I would tell you about Shaq Lawson, if they were to go down that road, he's been in this league now since, when did he come in the league? 2015? Right, or 16. So, I mean, his minimum salary is going to be a little bit higher than most guys, and they don't have a lot of money. But you know, anybody you bring in might have to be a veteran anyway. Good name, good thought. I haven't thought about that. And you're right. I mean, he is an end, but he's a good edge setting defensive end. We'll see. I wonder again. I go back to, is Calais Campbell available? That'd be a guy that really helped the Bills. But would the Dolphins really trade him in the division? Even knowing they're 2-7, you got to think, could they go on a run and see the Bills in the playoffs? You don't want to do that. They've already played them twice. Is there a division tax? That's a guy whose name could be on the market. But interesting, tomorrow, 4 p.m., is the trade deadline. We'll take a timeout. We'll get to that. Sit up. Stand down. Hey, buddy. And I'll wrap up what happened yesterday in the NFL after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Ty Johnson going to get the handoff here. Cutback lane is open. 35-30. And he's down to the 25-yard line. Jordan Poyer on the tackle. Eric, they went with five defensive linemen, and they beat it anyway.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.